It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Is anybody excited today? We have Kathy back with us, Valerie back with us. It is amazing to have everyone here, and we know that we are in the right place because we are in God's house. That is exactly where we need to be. And I'm so excited about finding out what God wants to minister to us today. I know that we come with all the different burdens, the trials, the difficulties of each of our lives. And church is about your life. Church is about what God is trying to actively do in your life. Because let me tell you, your God is active. Somebody say active. God is acting on your behalf even when we can't feel it. So let's get into the word today. We are in the book of Genesis, going back to the beginning. And we are in the 50th chapter, all the way at the end of the mighty book of Genesis. When you have it, say amen. The 50th chapter, amen. Okay, we good. We are going to start in the 19th verse and go all the way down to the 26th verse. Genesis 50, verse 19 to 26. And it reads, "But Joseph said to his brothers, 'Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, to preserve a numerous people just as God is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones.' In this way, Joseph reassured them, speaking kindly to them. So Joseph remained in Egypt, and he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also born on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." So Joseph made the Israelites swear, saying, "When God comes to you, you shall carry up my bones from here." And Joseph died, being 110 years old. He was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. Return with me, if you could, to a familiar verse, verse 19 of this passage. "But Joseph said to his brothers, 'Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good.'" Sisters and brothers, our God today is telling us, the story of Joseph is letting us know that God is up to something. Let us pray. God, we come into your house expectant today. We know, we trust, and we believe, even though if our emotions don't always tell us that, we know today that you are up to something. That you have not left us, God, to our own devices. No, you say that you will complete the work that you started in us, and we believe you today, God. We give you praise for the activity that you have already shown us in our lives. If we just look back, we can say, God, you have been busy with us. Some of us can say, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? So today, God, we are trusting you yet again. We are coming to you yet again with our real lives, knowing that you are up to something in us. And we just want to see what it is. Speak to us, God. Your servants are listening, and we will do our best to get everything out of the way so that we can hear your holy voice. Because we know you always have something good to say. It is in the mighty, the matchless, the powerful name of Jesus that we together say this prayer. And we say together, amen.
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 Amen. "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do evil to me, God meant it for good." So Soren Kierkegaard, who is the celebrated Christian philosopher, Kierkegaard, he says that life can only be understood backwards, but you have to live it forwards. So in case you haven't had your coffee yet, I'll say that one more time in case you need it again. Kierkegaard, he says that life can only be understood backwards, but we must live it forwards. Haven't we found that to be true in our lives? Haven't we seen as we progress through our journey, sometimes we understand things later that didn't make any sense when we were living them? Sometimes you begin to understand maybe the ways that people treated you when they didn't treat you the way you deserved to be treated. As you journey a little bit more through life, you see that the old saying is true. And when people mistreat you and don't do right by you, you start to see that that saying is true, that hurt people hurt people. And when you gain insight into their journeys, you maybe begin to put together the pieces and to understand the things that happened to them that then caused you to treat you in the way that they did. It begins to make a little bit more sense when you look back. Or maybe it's the things that you did that you don't understand. Sometimes we do things in our own lives that baffle even us. We take paths that don't make any sense. We engage in behavior that's not good for us or anybody else. Some of us can say at certain points in our lives, we were just like Paul when he said, I don't understand myself, or I do the thing that I hate, and the very thing I want to do, I don't do it, but I do what I hate. Who can understand the wretched man that I am? Sometimes it's our own selves that baffle us. But then when you begin to gain a little bit more insight into your own story, you can begin to put the pieces together to the puzzle that is you. You begin to comprehend what before just made no sense to you when you look back. And when we're lucky, it's not only that we understand what other people have done to us or what even we have done in our own lives, but we begin to see that sometimes the moments that most bruised us, that God was forming them into a story, sometimes even a beautiful story, putting the pieces together, weaving together a blanket that is the beautiful thing, that even the moments that most hurt us are coming together to form the completion of our lives. When we look back, sometimes we can see that we don't only just understand the why, sometimes we start to understand the therefore. That even the things that hurt us most, even the most dissonant notes, God was weaving into a beautiful symphony that can only be called life. But in the moment, we don't always understand it. In the moment, we feel baffled. In the moment, we feel blinded by the things that happen to us. And we feel that there's no logic to the situation. It's only when we look back that we gain this understanding. Joseph this morning is in such a moment of understanding. Joseph is at the end of his life and he's looking back. He's come to a moment that we will all face. He's at the end of his days. Joseph is at the end of a long, full, but by no means an easy life when we meet him today. And he's understanding some things that he didn't get before. He's looking back. He's comprehending things that before he could only rail against. He's putting some pieces together. He's understanding. And I got to tell you, though, before we talk about what Joseph understood, I got to tell you, before we talk about this moment where things clicked for him, where they made sense, I got to tell you how it felt when he was living it. I got to tell you that Joseph spent some time in a pit. Does anybody know about Joseph's pit? I got to tell you about this pit experience that he had, because I suspect that you may have had some of your own pit experiences. Joseph's life started out pretty well. Things started out pretty well for Joseph. He was a miracle baby. He was a miracle baby. He was the son of Jacob and of Rachel, of an older father and a woman that everyone had written off as barren. But here he came. A miracle baby. He was a part of a large family. His father had a lot of sons from another mother, and he was a part of a big family. But things quickly got complicated for Joseph. You may know the story. His brothers developed this heavy grudge for him. They developed this grudge against him because this was in this world where there was fierce competition over inheritance rights. You may remember how Esau and Jacob fought over the inheritance, and how someone comes up to Jesus later and says, hey, resolve this dispute between me and my brother over the what? Inheritance. So there's a fierce competition over inheritance in this world. And Joseph's brothers could perceive that Joseph, because he was born to Jacob in his old age, was Jacob's favorite. Oh, and they didn't like this. They did not like this. They developed a grudge, and things got rough for Joseph pretty quickly. One day, the brothers' jealousy overcomes them, and they decide to put an end to Joseph's life. They're out in the field tending sheep. Joseph's dad had sent him to send some sandwiches. Send some sandwiches to the boys who were tending the sheep. Joseph, go out there. And Joseph goes to the pasture where there is no one around, no one to see what happens, and the jealousy wells up in his brothers. The jealousy, the fear, the greed wells up into the worst of the human psyche, overcomes what is the instinct to what is right and wrong. And the brothers, they make a plan to end Joseph's life. They make this cruel plan to take Joseph and to put an end to him, to get rid of him. What do? They take Joseph and they throw him into a pit. Oh, and this pit is bad. This pit is dark and it is cold. This pit, Genesis tells us, there's no water in the pit. This is not a pit meant for his survival. No, this pit is meant to destroy him. But the cruelty doesn't stop there. When Joseph is in the pit, in this situation where there is no life to be found, where everything points to hopeless, where things look so bad, this is the worst moment, it gets yet worse. Anybody been there? The pit comes and you think it's as bad as it gets. The pit comes and you think, well, this might just be my biggest trial, but maybe I'll make it through. But then the pit goes a little bit deeper. Joseph today, as he's in the pit, he begins to hear his brothers. Not only have they thrown him in a pit, but they're making plans, not just to get rid of him, but to make some money off of him. You may remember the story. They see some Ishmaelite slave traders riding by on their camels. And in the baseness of their human capacities, they go as far as they could go. They abandon everything that is good and they say, let's sell our brother. Can you see how Joseph feels today in his pit? Can you imagine how he feels when he looks around and all he sees is dirt and debris? And when he feels around him, all he can feel is the earthen side of the pit that he thinks very well may become his grave. And when he listens, all he hears are the violent voices above him of trying to be that are bent on his destruction. Can you understand how he feels in the pit this morning? Maybe you can't understand how he felt, because maybe you've been in a few pits yourself. Maybe your pit was not a literal pit. You know, we get in lots of pits in our lives, whether it's divorce, whether it's an illness, whether it's losing a job, whether it's losing someone that you love. We all know what it's like to be walking along, doing what you are supposed to do, and all of a sudden the bottom falls out. You look around and you are in unfamiliar territory. You are deeper than you ever thought you would be. You can't see your hands in front of you, much less trace the hand of God at work. You're in a pit. All of a sudden, things didn't go the way you planned, and there are just cruel voices around you. There's no ladder out, and there's no one willing to help you, and you just feel like this is your worst moment. The darkness in a pit can be overwhelming. The darkness in a place where we've fallen out and we've gotten to the low point in our lives, that's what can really be very confusing to us. This is Joseph's experience today. He's in a pit where there's no sunlight coming in. He can't see his hands in front of him. He can't see any way out of the situation. The darkness is what is really confusing him, baffling him, bruising him about this situation. The thing about our pits is that it's so dark sometimes that we can't see God moving. It's so dark in our most difficult situations, when we fall into something that we didn't expect, when life hurts us more than we thought it would, when things are ripped from us that we thought would always be there. It's the darkness. It's not being able to see what's next. That's what really freaks us out. That's what really gets to us in these pit moments. When we can't see what God is doing, we can't see where to go, we can't see a way out. It's the darkness that was with Joseph today. We experience this a lot in our own pits. You know, people come to pastors a lot when they're in their pit moments. Y'all don't ever come see us when things are good. Y'all don't ever come say, hey, how's it going? It's a beautiful day outside. No. People come when they're in their pit moments. Anybody ever gone to talk to someone because you're in a pit moment? And then when you go, a lot of times what you hear, what we find ourselves saying, we say a lot, I'm so confused. Anybody ever said that? When life gets difficult, you start to use the word confused. I'm confused, I'm confused. This is because you can't see what God is doing next. Just like Joseph, you can't see your hand in front of you, much less the hand of God doing what's next in your life. So we say we're confused. But really this word, confused, it gets in our way. We use it to trap ourselves in these pit moments so we can't see the way out. I often tell people that we got to switch that word from confused. We got to say, I'm not so confused. It's not that I'm confused, it's that I'm curious. I feel like I don't know the answer, but that doesn't mean I'm confused. No. I've been in a situation like this before. I'm just curious what God is going to do with this situation this time. So Sometimes we have to shift our focus and say, I'm not so confused. That's the devil trying to tell me I don't know how to get out of this and I'll always be here. No, I am not confused. The devil is a liar. I'm just curious. I am just curious to see what God is going to do next, because God has done it before and I can't wait to see what God is going to do this time. This is how we need to act. Do you know why? Because when we get in these dark moments, when the bottom falls out and we find ourselves in a pit that lasts for 3 months, or some of those pits last so long, you don't even want to count the years anymore. Some of those pits are the kind where everybody can see the dirt all over you. You walk down the street, people are like, oh, she's going through something. Yes, they know. But some of our pits are so subtle that your best friend doesn't know. We get in these pits and we get confused and it's dark and we can't see the way out. I need you to know something today. I need you to know today that's when we need to say, I'm not confused, I'm curious. You know why? Because God does God's best work in the dark. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when you want to make a beautiful picture, you don't do it on your phone. You don't take it to Rite Aid. God help you if you take it to Rite Aid. It'll be 5 months until you get it back. No, where do you take it if you want to make a beautiful picture? You take it to a dark room. That's where beautiful things are developed. When God was making you, let me tell you, God does God's best work in the dark. When God was making you, it wasn't in the light of day. No, it is in the darkness of your mother's womb that God was knitting you together in wholeness and in perfection. That's where God does God's best work, in the dark. When God made the world, which God said is very good, God's best work, God didn't do it in the bright of day. No, God did it in the formless void and in the chaos, in the darkness that covered the waters. God works best in the dark. So when you were in your pit moment, we need to shift from this. When Joseph was in his pit moment today, he could not see God working at all. He thought it was the end. He thought this pit was going to be his grave. But let me tell you, God was busy. Does anybody know the story of Joseph today? How God was so busy in this dark moment. God was busy. God was busy because as the Ishmaelite traders were coming along, now these were bad people, but God used them for the good. As they were coming along and as they were making their plans, trading their money, buying Joseph, strapping him on a camel, God was busy. But they were strapping him on the camel. God was making plans and making things happen. And God was already about God's next move as Joseph was in this pit moment. And then by the time they got to Egypt, God had already done what was coming next. Because when they got to Egypt, you may remember, Joseph arrives to the house of somebody named Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was also not a good dude. Potiphar was not a good man, but God could use him anyway. And when Joseph got to his house, Potiphar had it all set up, and Potiphar thought he owned Joseph, but really it was God owning the whole situation. And God blessed Joseph so much and prospered everything that he did that Potiphar had no choice to put him in charge of the house. And Joseph was so good at that God kept prospering him and blessing him that they had no choice to put him on higher and higher up in the government. And eventually Joseph arrived to be governor all over Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And one day he looks around and he finds himself in a palace and he says, how did I get here? All of this started in a pit. He looked around and he has comfort, he has rescue, he has provision, he has what he needs, he has peace of mind, and all of it started in a pit. This is because God does God's best work in the dark, in the places in your life where you are confused, in the places in your life where you can't see what's next. That's where God is most active. Joseph had this experience today, where he was in a pit moment, but God was busy the whole time, transforming the situation the whole time. And God was active in this situation. And Joseph stopped by today. In this moment of understanding, Joseph stopped by here today to talk to us about our pit situations. To talk to us about those moments where we can't see what's next and the bottom fell out and things were taken from us and we feel like it's the worst that it's ever been. Joseph stopped by to tell us some things today about this situation. The first thing he needs us to know, first thing Joseph needs us to know today is that God, in your pit situation, God will use some hostile vessels to bless you. Some hostile vessels. Hostile vessels. Hostile vessels are those people, those places, those things that mean you no good, but that God can still use for your good. I need to tell you that the Ishmaelite traders today, they were not good people. Somebody say, not good people. Joseph's brothers, their inhumanity toward him, it was awful, but it was matched by these men who were willing to treat Joseph as property. But as they were planning to trade Joseph and to sell Joseph, God was using them just as they were using Joseph, but not for evil. God was using it for the good. Now, Potiphar, he wasn't a good dude either. Somebody said, not a good dude. Potiphar was not a good man. He had the baseness of character to believe that he could purchase another human being. But God's favor was so thick on Joseph that in even encountering one enemy after another, his situation still turned out for the good. Right? So God was using these hostile vessels to get God's purposes accomplished. God prospered Joseph in Potiphar's house. And no matter how bad Potiphar was or how evil his intentions might have been, God was still going to use him. God had Joseph had seen his share of hostile vessels. Right? Can you imagine Joseph in this moment? It's just gone from bad to worse. But through it all, God is using it. God, Joseph had seen his brothers, his own flesh and blood, who were supposed to love and protect him, know they had betrayed him, a hostile vessel. Joseph had seen the Ishmaelite traders. No, they were not good people. They believed they could own someone. They were on the wrong side of right and wrong, but they were a hostile vessel because God used them. Then here comes Potiphar, a man on the wrong side of good and evil, but it didn't matter because God was still using him as a vessel. In your life, maybe there's some things, some people who mean you no good. Somebody at your job you just wish would just get sick. She just oversleep, right? You just wish that. You pray for that. You feel bad, but you pray for that, right? Maybe she's a hostile vessel. You don't know what kind of blessing is waiting underneath that hostile vessel, that unfriendly angel who's come to that God can bless you through. Maybe for you it's not people. Maybe for you it's those places and those things, those bad experiences, those rough patches that you've been through, maybe an illness that you had to go through. God did not cause them, but God can use them. Have you ever noticed that sometimes in life it's the ones that treat you the worst? It's experiences that are the hardest to overcome. It's those rock bottom experiences that show you that you are hard as a rock. Have you ever noticed that sometimes it's the worst things that you go through that really bring out the best, the strength, the warrior in you? Maybe it's just your experience with domestic violence that made you such a fighter for justice, and now nothing can overcome you because you have overcome the hardest thing. Maybe it's the childhood that you went through that makes you determined to be the best parent you can be, and when you look in the mirror in the morning, you say, I will give my children better than what I have because I've been through some things. Have you ever noticed it's those deep experiences heard by you? Because I know God can use you, even you, yes. What you meant for evil, thank you, God can turn it for the good. But I need to tell you today, even though God can turn it for the good, even though God can use some of the worst situations in your life to bless you, to make you into the powerful person that you are becoming, I need to let you know that there's a difference between God causing it and God using it. How many know that's the truth? There is a difference between something being God ordained, God redeemed, right? We see this in Joseph's life. We see this in Joseph's life today because Joseph had been through some terrible things. Some evil things happened to him. Some difficult things happened to him. And even though they were evil, God used it for the good. But I need you to know today that God did not cause what happened to Joseph. God would never ordain or cause the enslavement of one human being to another. No, that is the forces of evil that does that. God was not behind that, but oh, God could use it. Now, this is important. This trips us up. Because in your life, some bad things have happened to you. Maybe some things too painful for words. Maybe even some evil things have happened in your life. Maybe you've overcome some things that were so difficult that other people couldn't even bear to read it in a book, but you had to live it. And then here come simplistic people with their unintelligent, their myopic way of understanding your life, and they say things to you like, everything happens for a reason. If it happened, God must have willed it. Easy for them to say when they didn't live through the hell that you lived through. How many know that our God is too good this morning? Our God is too good to will some of the worst things that happen to you. Our God is too good to will some of the most difficult trials. God did not cause those things to happen. Just like in Joseph's story, it wasn't God who whispered to the Ishmaelite traders, go over there and buy that person. No, that was the devil that told them to do that, but God could use it. And in your life, There is a difference between God, something being God ordained, and something being God redeemed. I'm telling you, even the most awful things, even the worst things, even the things intended for your evil, God can turn it for the good, even the worst things that have happened. That is why it says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, because God can use everything. But there's a difference between God causing it and God using it, between it being God ordained and God redeemed. There may be some hostile vessels in your life, some conduits to your greatness who never saw it. You wanted to see you get anywhere near great. Some people who didn't want to see anything good come out of you, but God has used them to push you to something else, to the better level, to the next level, rather to what's next for you. God can use these hostile vessels. This is what Joseph tells us today. The next thing Joseph tells us today, another thing that we learn from his story, is that you can't always feel God moving in the moment. How many know that sometimes when you're in the most difficult moments, you cannot feel God at all? This is Joseph's story today. He's in the pit. He is in the pit of his experience. He is in the worst moment that has yet come his way, and he cannot tell that God is moving. When he's in the pit, he can't discern the hand of God because it's so dark and his vision is so clouded. All he sees is pit. He doesn't see the provision that's on the way. All he sees is pit. He doesn't see the activity that God is already doing. All he sees is pit. He cannot imagine the palace that is going to be part of his reality when he gets a little further down the road. You in your pit. All you can see is the pit. You and your unemployment, you and your challenge, you and your depression, all you can see is those things around you. You can't imagine the provision that's on its way. You can't imagine the places that God is yet going to take you. You can't imagine the days when you will say, I am 110, and I've seen my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. I've had this beautiful and full life. You can't imagine what's going to be a little bit down the road, because when we're in the pit, we can't see God moving. But just because you feel it doesn't mean, does you, just because you don't feel it doesn't mean God is not active. Somebody say, this pit is not permanent. Yes, we can't always feel what God is doing, but that doesn't mean that God is not doing it. The last thing Joseph needs to tell us about our pits today, about our stories, about what God is doing in our lives, is that God can use even the worst things, even the most difficult, even the hostile vessels to bless us. But God is going to turn it not just for your good, but for the good. God uses these things not just for your benefit, not just to give you a full and a happy life, but to be a blessing to someone else. I'm telling you, the pits of your life will become part of your assignment. God will be able to weave them into a beautiful fabric that is going to be the way that you bless other people. We see this in Joseph's story today. It wasn't just for Joseph to have a good and a full, happy life. It wasn't just that Joseph would be rescued. No, God was up to something bigger. Somebody say bigger in Joseph. Joseph's brothers, they didn't understand this. And they said, please forgive us. And Joseph said, it's okay. Because what you meant for evil, God turned it for the good. But not just my good. No, why? Because God was trying to preserve a numerous people, as God is doing today. Oh, it was bigger than Joseph. This was bigger than Joseph. It was bigger than what he was going through. God had a bigger picture in mind. For every tear that Joseph cried, for every drop of sweat that came down his brow when he was on the camels, for every stress thought that clouded his thinking, God took those things not just to wipe away the tears on Joseph's face, but to turn it into something bigger, so his life would mean something, so the world would be different because Joseph had stepped on the planet. Somebody say, God is up to something bigger. Joseph arrived in Egypt at a crucial time. He arrived right before there was a big famine. The famine was severe and it lasted 7 years. Nobody knew what to do. Pharaoh had never known a hard day in his life. He didn't know what was happening. Potiphar had never known any sort of lack. He didn't know what was up. They were panicking. They were freaking out. Oh, but Joseph had come from a big family. And so he knew what it was like when there wasn't enough and you had to share it among a lot of different people.
Amen.
He knew what to do in this situation. God's blessing was in Joseph's hand. Pharaoh was freaking out. Potiphar was wringing his hands, but Joseph knew what to do. Joseph said, God has a solution for us, and I think I know what it is. I think what we should do is we need to save one-fifth of what's here this year, because this year is going to be okay, but next year the famine is going to get worse. So we save one-fifth and we put it away. Next year we save one-fifth more and we put it away. Next year we save a little bit more, and then when there's nothing, we have to share, because I come from a big family and God has taught me some things in my life, and I'm here for this moment because God's blessing is in my hands. God has sent me here for a reason. Somebody say, it's bigger than me. But Joseph didn't just have practical knowledge that God used today. Joseph had something called spiritual knowledge. Somebody say spiritual knowledge.
Spiritual.
The country, you may say, was in a low moment. The bottom had fallen out of Egypt's economy, and that's why the famine was here. The bottom had fallen out. They found themselves in a low moment. Pharaoh was freaking out. Potiphar didn't know what to do, but Joseph had been in a low moment before. Joseph knew what it was like for God to reach down and rescue you from some things, because Joseph had been there before. He didn't come just with practical knowledge. He came with that spiritual knowledge today. He said, Potiphar, you may be freaking out. Pharaoh, you may not know what to do, but I know a God who can rescue even out of the deepest of pits. And even though Egypt is in a low moment today, I know what God can do in low moments, because I've seen it done before. Somebody say, I know from experience that my God can rescue even out of the deepest pits. So Joseph had been sent for such a time as that. Joseph had been sent not just for his own good, but for the greater good. How many know your experiences in your pits? I promise you, they are not just for you. They are going to bless somebody. They're going to be part of your assignment. They're going to be used not just to bless you, not just to bring you out so that you become a blessing. The celebrated poet Maya Angelou, she went through a pit moment when she was a little girl. Many of you maybe know her story. When she was a little girl, she went through a terrible abusive situation. Terrible abuse happened to her, and she was traumatized. Anybody know about that trauma? She was so traumatized that she could no longer speak for years. Her words were robbed for her by the ugliness of the situation. She could not speak. Oh, but when she healed, she looked at life and she said, I have some stuff to say. I haven't been able to say it for a while because my pit was deep and my pain was real, but I got some stuff to say now. Oh, and when she came out of that pit moment, God worked it for the good. God took it and redeemed it. God did not erase it. God took it and redeemed her pain. Oh, and then the poetry that came out of that woman, the words that came out of her life because of her pit experience, it wasn't just for her. She became one of the world's most beautiful poets. Why? Because her pit, God redeemed it. That's our life today. The things you are going through are not just for you. God will, God can, God is bringing you out. But it's not just going to be for you. There is poetry that God is trying to pull out of your life. God didn't cause it, but man, God can redeem it this morning. So your pit experience is not the end of you. No. It might be a dissonant note, but it's a dissonant note in a beautiful symphony that God is playing with your life. Sisters and brothers, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet this morning. As we experience our pit moments, the way we understand the season that we're living determines a lot. The way we understand the season that we're living determines whether we stand up and we fight through it, or whether we lie down, we make that thing our grave. The way we understand the season that we're in determines how we approach it. I need you to know that the season that you're in, if it's a pit moment, if you've been through some difficult things where the bottom has been pulled out from under you, that it is not the end. Even when you can't feel God working, God is working through even the most hostile vessels. And God is working them not just for your good, but for the good. This pit moment that you might be in, these difficult days where you can't see what's next, they are just your dark room. They're just a dark room in which God is developing something beautiful. And the way we understand these things, if we can see them the way God sees them, oh, the power that becomes ours, the power that surges through our life when we say, this might be my pit, but it is not the end of me. I'm on my way to something else because I know a God who's taken me there before, and I trust that God today. We have our invitation today is to trust that God, to lean on that God who has done it before. Grab somebody this morning. Squeeze that hand just a little bit. Let them know that if they are in a difficult moment, you believe, even when they don't believe, that God is working even when they can't feel it. Squeeze their hand just a little bit. Don't hurt them. Let them know that this pit is not permanent. God is developing them in the dark room into something beautiful, and the symphony that is going to come, even with the dissonant notes, is going to be so amazing because our God is just that good. Amen? Amen? Amen. As we sing this song together, let that sink in, that God is working on you even in those difficult moments.